y'all, and welcome to the Talk with Tori podcast. I'm your host, Tori Jones, and I'm so glad that you're here. It is officially holiday season. On each episode, I will chat with a friend, and we will share random life topics, tips, and tricks, fun stories, and more serious stories filled with some real talk to make you laugh, maybe cry, make you think. But most of all, we pray this podcast brings a smile to your face and gives you the courage to share your story with someone. So grab your favorite holiday drink. Mine is a mistletoe margarita or some Starbucks. Y'all know I love their hot chocolate to get in the spirit. Or some sparkling water. I don't care. You do you, girl, because it's time to peel back the layers and add a little holiday spice to it. Sandy girl, we live.
It's a world ready for us, Tori.
I don't think they are. No, I don't think they are. Y'all, I'm excited to introduce y'all. Introduce y'all to my girl, Sandy. Sandy-rella.
Sandy-rella.
Sandra D. Aditi.
That's my nickname. No, actually, my name is Sandra Lee Williams. And when I was born, I'm of the era. I'm so much older than you. But I am not of the era of Sandra D, but my older brother thought that they named me Sandra D, and so he started calling me Dee Dee.
Now your grandkids call you Dee Dee.
And now my grandkids call me Dee Dee. So that is the saving grace in all of this, because true Southerners, you know, you come out of the womb, you get married, you start having kids, you're thinking about that grandmother name.
They do.
In the South. Yes, absolutely, because we have to monogram stuff.
Oh, yeah,
all of it. So, you know, Dee Dee's not a bad name as far as grandmamas go.
Well, you know, my mom's name is Mimi, which is a grandmother name, but she wants her grandma name to be Mimsy.
Oh, I think that's so cute. Mimsy.
Okay, so listen to how Mimsy. If y'all ever watch Secret Life of the American Teenager,
did you watch that show? No, but obviously, there's got to be a Mimsy.
Okay. So on the Secret Life of the American Teenager, kind of an inappropriate show. It was so inappropriate. And it was on ABC Family. So inappropriate.
So inappropriate.
The girl on there, you know, the baby daddy, this and this and this. At some point, a grandmother was like, I want my grandmother name to be Mimsy. And, like, I was in the sixth grade, and we literally looked at, like, my mom was like, that's me. Because she's not going to be Mimi, because that's her name, but it's a little spin on it.
It is a little spit. It is.
I like it. So now that she has a grand dog, he calls her Mimsy.
Does it? Yeah. Look at his ear raised up.
He's sitting here with us, y'all. Okay.
Oh, now he's coming over to the radio. Okay. He may have something to say.
Louie, do you have something to say?
I do love grandmama names, though. But unfortunately for I've got five children. So when they all start having, you know, the odds are I'm going to have a great many grandchildren.
How many do you have now?
Right now I have seven.
Already. And not even everyone has kids.
And not everyone is married yet.
Oh, my God.
I've still got one that just announced.
Okay, tell us, y'all, a few days ago.
Just a few days ago, my baby, Whitney Lee, was asked to marry Kate Phillips, who is of Birmingham, Alabama. And we're very, very excited about their upcoming
nuptials
adventures. I'm gonna have to get my plan, and I don't even know how this is gonna work, but I'm gonna plan like nobody's business.
Sandy drove 9 hours to my wedding
by myself, and that was on the way home, if you remember, the tornado. So I arrived back into Auburn, you know, to just an absolute chaotic and scary time. We were still experiencing really bad weather, but I mean, that's a God thing, and I'm sure we'll spin around to you know, fate and how things tie in. But for some reason, my GPS routed me to come home through Selma versus how I
used to always go the back way,
and that's how I went to your wedding was
the normal way to go.
And for some reason I was rerouted that way, and it was, you know, it was a God thing, because I would have driven right in the eye of the storm.
And y'all, this storm was not one that people knew was coming.
No.
It was like, if you hear of a tsunami happen in 30 seconds, it was that type of a, and it was bad. People died.
It was, yes, lots of people.
I mean, it
tornadoes,
was.
And it was just a terrible time. And my husband's a lineman for Alabama Power, so naturally you know, he was at work and he was just scared to death trying to, you know, do what, you know, and all of our families, not all of my families here, but the majority of my children. And I can say that when you have five, you can say majority.
Majority!
You can say that when you have a passel of children.
Okay, I agree with that. Well, five kids, Sandy, there's always something going on. So, you know, let me tell you how I know Sandy. We are consultants for Rodian and Fields together.
Yes.
And we met at a social event. We just hit it off. We started shooting the bull on the side of the party. And all of a sudden, 3 hours later, I was like, this is my kindred spirit. And Sandy and her husband, Keith, have just been so sweet to Josh and I. Adopted us, taken us in. They are busy enough with five kids, seven grandkids, everybody's mama, sister, something. And they still invite us to their stuff. So we appreciate it. And y'all are just going to love Sandy. She could be one of the funniest people. If I'm having a bad day, I'm going to call her and hear about her day. And it's going to make me laugh, y'all.
Y'all, I have had some experiences in this lovely town that we call Auburn over the years. And it's so funny because I guess what makes me, I'm a transplant. And not a lot of people know that about me. When people generally meet me, they think I am from the Auburn area.
And you're like, baby, but no, if you only knew.
Yeah, if you only knew. I hail from the bad side of the tracks. I'm talking about, I'm from Prattville, Alabama. My father retired from the Air Force out of Maxville. So I graduated high school from Prattville High School. And just all my life, Auburn football. I don't know life without Auburn football. And it was such a passion of my father's that, you know, he flew back for wherever we were stationed, whatever.
Where
got, you
know,
predominantly Europe.
Did you love it?
But yes, absolutely. And we didn't come back stateside permanently until I was 14 years old.
Oh, so you really did.
So I really was raised overseas. My younger brother, who's 11 months younger than me, Michael Dean Smith, he's a banker in Dothan, Alabama. And he was born in Madrid. I was a very serious Auburn University student. I was here for 5 years.
And y'all, she's married. She's married to a bear, yeah. And it's a problem.
It's a problem. It's a mixed marriage, without a doubt. I am involved in a mixed marriage. Yeah. But I will say that living in Auburn is about, and making him reside in Auburn is about, you know, I don't have to tease him a great deal. Because the rest of the city does that for me.
He wears that Bama hat like no other. Y'all, we go to the LSU Auburn game in Baton Rouge.
In Baton Rouge.
And he's wearing that Bama hat. And he was getting more booed than any Auburn. So he's like, get out of here.
And so everywhere I took him that weekend, I would just kind of push him out front and say, yeah, you're welcome. I brought the banner for you to chew on because LSU hates them as much as we.
Y'all, Keith is so funny. And I love how y'all's personalities kind of are a little bit like me and Josh's.
Yes.
Keith lets you do your thing, run around, and he's there to cook, support, love. And we'll talk about Keith more, his role kind of in the family. But Sandy, I have to get you to tell them the story about the answer.
Okay.
This is the best story. Josh was like,
really. It's really embarrassing because, I mean, and you might want to clarify this for your listeners too. I am a woman. Sometimes I sound like a man. I think it's largely because of my father's military influence and him being a sergeant. And some of those things have carried off. I don't play a bugle in the mornings.
But, yeah.
But Keith and I dated, and at the time we were dating, I did do radio a great deal. And so locally on every station here in town and Auburn Network, I've been on the radio. And it's funny because I guess, you know, you don't match your voice. Imaginations and their visions of what you sound like don't necessarily coincide. Yeah. So I think it's a shock sometimes when people actually see me and they have referred, you know, it just depends on my voice. Can, if I'm really, really excited about something, it can be flowery and pretty. But, you know, for the most part, I've raised five kids and it's very apparent.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a gruff kind of voice. But anyways, I digress. Keith lived in Kent, Alabama, which is right outside, a little community outside of Tallahassee. And so, of course, I was in Auburn. And
so how far would that be?
About 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would go there. We would typically, when we dated, we would go out in Montgomery. Because, mm-hmm. You know, it was just like a half. It was closer to go to Montgomery than it was to come back to Auburn.
Yeah.
So we would go out to dinner or a movie or whatever it was in Montgomery. And, you know, we were young, fresh, and in love. And all the hot and bothered stuff, you know, just so excited to be with each other. You know, all the things when you're newly in love with the opposite sex. But anyways, we go out, we have a really good time. And, of course, I mentioned earlier that Keith is a lineman for Alabama Power. And back in the day, they had beepers. And so, you know, you are a pager, I guess is the more politically correct thing to say. But so he would be paged and he would know to call in. Or they would call and leave him a message on his answer machine. For those of you who don't know what an answering machine is, back in the day, there's an actual physical machine with a little cassette on it, and you would speak into this thing and say, hello, whatever, I'm not here, leave a message, you know what to do with the beeper, what have you. So it was Keith's habit to play the answer machine right when he came into the back door.
Oh, for them.
For, you know, so we had been out to dinner and we had gone to a bar, so we were, you know, pretty loose. I will say that. We were, you know, laughing and cutting up and, you know, just hot and heavy making out. I mean, I just don't know how else to say it. You know? He had a farm in the middle of nowhere, so, you know, there we are, falling out of the car, all over each other, getting to the door. And it just out of habit, when he came through, he pressed play on the answer machine. And when he did, there is my voice. And I am saying all the things like, ooh, what up, you know, what I'm going to do to you in the dark. And get all these crazy, mushy, just, you know, cheesy, terrible things about what I'm going to do to this man, you know, once the lights are out and we're all lovey-dovey. Well, his back is to me when this is playing and I'm on the other side of the bar of his house, and I can tell by the way his shoulders are, just by the way he's standing, that he is wanting to turn this machine off, I mean, in the most desperate way. And I said, well, baby, what is it? I mean, what do you do? And that man turns around and he looks at me and he said, I know you're not going to believe me because, you know, we've only been going out whatever amount of time. But he said, I swear to God, I have no idea who that woman is saying all those things to me.
So were you like?
Oh, man, I milked that. You know
so
I
you
milked
that. Thought that was you?
Yeah, well, not for a long time. I mean, I just was like, I cannot believe that. Oh, my goodness, you're two-timing me. And what kind of witch? Oh, my goodness, who is this? And whatever. So I strung
that,
you on
I do
out
not
there.
Know who that
but
is.
But that man, and I knew from that moment on that there's no way this man does not know how to lie. Because, I mean, he would get flustered if ever, and true enough, knock on wood, I have seen him, and my husband is a very attractive man, and I have seen over the course of years, you know, women, you know, he's a good-looking man. If he does something, yeah. They're going to give him, an extra look or whatever, but, I mean, you know, he's a very well-trained married man. He knows how to avert those eyes, but he does every time. He blushes. Like a little 8-year-old girl.
I'm sure he freaked out.
Oh, yes, Lord. He was mortified. He had no idea, and I could say names, but he thought it was this other woman that was in, you know,
the
that
area.
Happened to work with him at the time.
Oh, so he thought it was her the whole time?
The whole time. He thought it was this woman. And so, I milked that for a long time.
Okay, that's the best. That's the best. Y'all, that story.
That's pretty funny.
The best. Well, pretty Sandy funny. And I... I've had some shenanigans. One of my favorites was Nashville.
Okay, so Tori mentioned that we are Rodan and Field consultants. And, you know, I will say it's the greatest business as far as, you know, meeting other people and going out and do it's there's something about
we have fun.
We just have really good time. But with any large group, when you have a conference, it's a good time. But
and we're
went
the
to Nashville, and I don't think they were fully prepared. Well, I know they weren't ready for me. And I'm pretty sure they weren't ready for you.
No, either. Y'all, I need to tell y'all this. The best part of Nashville was this. I go to this, like, denim and diamonds party.
Yeah, okay? That's for all the, like, top sales.
Oh, whatever.
Way, way down.
Whatever. But a few of us go to this. So Sandy goes with, you know, the other side of the group going to dinner and whatever. Well, we get home from the party and we're laying in bed, and then all of a sudden my girlfriend Allie goes, so-and-so's live on Instagram. And she pulls that up, y'all. It is Sandy riding a bull at 1 a.m. We were like, what is she doing? Oh, and she kept going and going and going. And we're like, oh my gosh.
She's never going to fall off. Let me tell you a little story about tequila. Well, and first of all, and the group that I was with, I mean, you know, Nashville is, you know, it's notorious. I mean, you're there to, yeah. You know, what happens in Nashville stays in Nashville. Yeah. You know, it's the whole Vegas kind of thing. But unbeknownst to those people, and I can't think of the name. It wasn't Wild Horse Saloon. I can't remember the name of the bar.
How long were you on the bull?
I have it. I've got the video of the thing. I was almost like a minute and a half. I mean, I stayed on that
thing.
Were
people cheering?
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Look at the skinny girl hanging out with the old lady.
So we see this on Instagram Live at 1 a.m. And let's just say that whole trip was so fun. We also love water aerobics.
Yes, we do that too. We have a lot of fun together. We do all kind of stuff.
Water aerobics, y'all, best workout. Sandy will tell you.
Best workout ever. We just got a pool in the midst of COVID. Probably in my whole life, and I'm 55 years old, I feel like I should tell that to people out there, since I have so
many
children.
We're different generational friends.
Different generational friends.
Why don't you give them your background, your career, your family? Just tell them more about you.
Tell them
you have a lot of layers. So growing up, military brat.
Military
brat. How did that shape you? And then moving, so you grew up like that. Tell us how that shaped you, and then your life set.
Okay, well, you know, I don't know how to say how it shaped me, other than, you know, when you're a military brat, we were always, wherever my father was stationed, we always lived on the economy. So,
how many siblings?
And what that meant was I was one of four.
Okay.
I have an older sister, an older brother, and a younger brother. My younger brother and I are closest, Michael Dean. We're 11 months apart.
Okay.
So you can imagine, and he was born in Madrid. So there's my mother living in Madrid on the economy, not on base. My first words, she had some help, but my first words were Spanish. So they let the housekeeper go because they couldn't communicate with, you know, Michael and I.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, that was a, that
so
was
y'all
had
to live in Spain.
So yes, absolutely. And then he did many tours at Ramstein Air Force Base. So we lived in a little town called Brooksmilbach.
Well, tell us about your career, your family, kind of what that's like.
Well, I went to Auburn, graduated from Prattville High School, went to Auburn University, got my degree. I was there for 5 years. I was a professional student. I figured out the first year that I enjoyed college.
Yeah, I still work at Auburn. I feel like I'm in college.
And I too work for Auburn. I loved everything about college. I think that you ask about how the military shaped me. That is probably the biggest thing, because we wanted to learn. And we were eager to learn about the countries that we were in, and we were eager to learn about the history, and there was so much history around us. I'm more tolerant, and I'm more culturally aware, so I've been diverse all my life. I mean, I've never sat in a room. If anything, I was the minority.
Yeah.
And I was the white kid that couldn't speak whatever language.
Yeah.
So I was always the I get it. I understand completely what it feels to have to overcome something just to get in the door.
Yeah.
Just to get in the door, do I understand that you've got to shine brighter, you've got to be louder, you've got to be, you've got to have something special that makes you stand out, because you will get lost and you will get stepped on if you don't.
So what was your career like? What jobs did you do?
I had an aptitude. Yeah, I graduated from Auburn in recreation administration, which is what I have in common with your husband, sports management. And then I minored in communication. And I graduated in 1989, and it was always my dream, because the Olympics were such a big deal to us as kids and sports. I think that allowed me to be good at PR and communications, because what I really wanted to do was be on the sidelines, and I wanted to be a female football announcer.
I used to always want to do that.
I tried, and I never broke through. So worked for Prime Fitness Center and started their health and wellness program, 80s, you know, it was all about the workouts. When I graduated, parks and recreation departments were slim to none. Now, there were a few states that had these kind of programs and outlets, but for the most part, I grew up in the era of the YMCA.
So your
kids, you know, did YMCA stuff, and they didn't. And I always knew that programming was a big deal. So I did a lot of that, and then I got divorced. One thing led to another, and I came back to Auburn. And when I came back to Auburn, I started working for Auburn Parks and Rec part-time, and helped them to create and establish the after-school program, which kind of solidifies me to many, many generations of Auburn's youth that passed through my doors that way, and then additionally through Parks and Rec, because I did their PR and marketing. No one had ever done before. I started, you know, just doing radio shows, and I would just show up at stations. Hello, my name is.
You make it happen.
Yeah, you know, my name is, and, you know, we've got all these things that we offer, and we need the community to know, you know, we need them to know about it. So what is it that you do, and how can I incorporate your business into what we're doing? And if you sell fishing poles, well, let's have a fishing run. You know, and let's do all the things, and let's talk about that. So we did. And before I knew it, it was every day of the week I was on a different station, or I was doing, and then it just kind of grew from that. And they were like, well, my goodness, all you do is communications, you're not a program person. And so while that was great and wonderful, they made me a public relations specialist, and I lost the ability to be able to program. So that became my full-time job, is promoting other people's events. So when I left the city, I got a job offer at Auburn. It's got a Surfside water park. We had a water park, and it's defunct.
I wish we
now
still had a water park.
It's defunct now, but I mean, I had the absolute best time of my life.
How long
water
did you work
there? I was there not right at 4 years, and the only reason I left is Jim May got cancer and died.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's a very terrible, terrible, terrible thing. But my heart just wasn't in it. It was a terrible illness. It was a long, drawn out. He was my hero. And I was devastated. And so it really took me, I pulled myself out of the community, you know, just really focused on my family at that time. They were, you know, teenage years, and making that adjustment from teenagers to college and what have you. And I just felt like, you know, I'd be better served just to take a deep breath and appreciate my kids for what they were at the time. So I did. And got back into, started working for CB Holdings and Capital Plastic Products here also locally, and designing and doing their marketing for the M&M tubes, the candy tubes that you see. So the labels that were designed, that was me, and the M&M Mars folks, which, you know, they have since gone up, but I worked with a plant in Albany, New York. At Albany, Georgia, not New York.
And then you worked at the university.
And then from there, I got hired to the Quilts of G's Bend came to town. It's very predominant exhibition that was held all over the world. And, you know, and when the Jewel Collins Smith Museum got that, it was a very big deal. So Auburn University Relations reached out to me.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And so I came on just to specifically market that for them and do the PR for that. And then in doing that, snuck over to the College of Engineering and started working in materials engineering.
Y'all, this?
I've done some of the coolest things and some of the most obscure things.
I love it, you know, because a lot of our listeners are going to be people in their 20s and 30s thinking, where is life going to lead me? You just never know, and you got to just keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to always surround yourself with good people. And by good people, I mean God-fearing people who genuinely believe in education, that believe in a higher power, that believe that they're put on this earth to help others and to serve others. And in doing so, you just create these lifetime relationships that you never, ever know what 8 years from now, how that person may circle back around and be in your life. So to be kind.
Yeah.
And to, it's easy enough for me to say, don't burn any bridges. But I, you know, that's a very powerful.
Yeah.
You do not burn bridges. And,
never.
And you go about things the right way. And 9 times out of 10, if you work hard and you believe in what you do, then your work will speak for itself and you will be propelled upwards and onwards for as long as you care to be. My happy place is to be where others are happy.
Amen. That's
and
a good one.
I don't ever want to say I want to be in Australia is my happy place. The lake is my happy place. Those are just places. It's the people who make life worth living. And so my happy place is where happy people are and my family is.
I love that. And all you need is family. So let's switch gears.
Switch it.
Let's talk about the holidays. Christmas. Jingle bells.
I don't think anything's going to be able to rain on my parade this Christmas. I have a new kitchen. I'm going to make all the fattening things.
Y'all, she came here with a sweet potato pie when she arrived.
Oh, dear. Brandon's loving a sweet potato pie.
Y'all, how many sweet potato pies do you give to people for Thanksgiving?
Anywhere between, I think last year's 24.
I mean, y'all.
24, 25.
Homemade. We're going to talk about giving, y'all. It's the time of giving. You don't have to spend a lot of money to give. Mm-hmm. You get in the kitchen. You write a card.
You call somebody.
You
dip
text
something
them.
In coffee. Just dip something in chocolate.
Dip it in chocolate, and it's good.
Dip it in chocolate.
Go get the stick-on cookies.
And get you one of those. Look, go to Dollar Tree and get you some of those little tins. They've got every
people
kind.
Love it. They love it.
Get some. I mean, put some. What is that stuff? It's the wax paper. The wax paper. You know, when you peel back wax paper, there's something good in there. It can't be that clingy stuff. It's not the
smudge.
It has to be the wax paper where you unfold it.
And it's beautiful and fabulous. Well,
and there's, I mean, in town, Auburn has got some of the most unique. Y'all shop local. I don't know who's listening to this or wherever
if you don't live in Auburn, which a lot of our listeners don't live in Auburn, they're all over the world. But let me say, come to Auburn, Alabama.
That is, we have some really cool stuff. Or shop where you are.
I agree with
that.
Shop local.
Shop, you know, the mom and pops.
We're all about shopping. We've always.
Put on a mask and go. Lord,
or online at the local.
Or online and pick up. These people, that's probably in all of this. It makes my heart hurt for the self-starters, the small business person, the restaurant that are out there. They're trying to make this work. And then you have all your essential workers that everybody's, you know, and rightly so. I mean, we're giving our nurses and our medical community, you know, all the whoops and the, you know, the good things and the encouragement and stuff and the grocery workers. But I think that everybody needs to be uplifted. There are people out there keeping Amen. Your lights on. There are people out there that are keeping your water clean. There are people out there that are, you know, when you're down and out cutting your grass or doing whatever you need done. So if you find yourself in a position this season of not having a lot of funds, and you're not the only person in the world that has hit hard by the economic downturn that we've all experienced.
It's terrible.
Give up your time.
Mm-hmm.
Give up.
It does not have to be monetary. Not even food monetary, nothing.
And you can do things with technology that, can call a neighbor, call your local parks and recreation department. They've got a therapeutic program. They've got seniors that need reaching out to. They've got Ride a Card, Salvation Army. There are so many worthwhile agencies and organizations you can get involved with, and you can do it over the phone. You can do it financially over the phone. You can read somebody a book over the phone. You can do NORAD, Track Santa. There's all kinds. Yeah. Put your thinking cap on. And instead of doing, buying somebody something or doing that thing, give them an experience,
Yeah, do the things.
Do the things.
Well, Cindy, I'm glad we kind of started talking about Christmas. You know, the reason I reached out to you, I always knew I wanted you on the podcast. But you have so many stories. But there's one story in particular I knew people needed to hear over this holiday season. And you kind of started it out by talking about giving. Y'all, I growing up, my mom, which Sandy knows, Mimi.
Yes, I do, Mimi. I was gonna say, what are we gonna call her?
Mimsy.
Mimsy. Don't do Mimsy. Mimsy, she would die over Mimsy. No.
Mimsy, yes. Yeah. She always, to our Christmas cards, that you send in the mail. Mm-hmm. She always sent a Christmas story or an impactful story. So I wanted to keep that tradition. Josh and I are starting new traditions, keep traditions. I remember people always saying how much that impacted them. So I told Josh, I said, this is a tradition I want to keep. When we send our card, send a story. And it'll be one of the story times of Tori. Y'all look forward to it, which is the story. And I shared it with Sandy when I sent her a card. And she said, Tori, there's a story I want to tell you because it is so similar to the story that you sent, and it's a story people need to know. So will you share us about what season of life you were in and what that Christmas Eve meant to you?
Oh my goodness, this was years and years ago.
But you remember it clear as day?
Just clear as day. I will never forget this. People talk about events, and I don't know that, I know my family does, but you talk about things that change you or impact you in such a way that you might be just feeling as low can be, and just come upon a shiny penny or something that just makes you believe in humanity again, and it gives
Jesus.
you that validation of, God is real, and angels do walk amongst us, and I know this. First because time. I met an angel, and I'm going to try to get my age right. I want to say I was 26 years old, 25 or 26
so
years
old.
So
this was a long time ago.
A long time ago, and my daughter, Whitney, was four or five, and my oldest son, Josh hadn't been born yet, my youngest son, but John was just over a year old. I'm so a baby. If you talk to a Southerner, anybody under the age of 3 years old is considered a baby. So it could be anywhere.
And you were married
between.
To someone different at the time.
And so I was married to my ex-husband at the time, who was, I'm going to keep this on a positive note, there are good people and there are bad people. And I think that I married somebody who just was a con artist that was raised as a grifter. I could just go way back, but I did not know that at the time. And it, when you get married and you're young and you have a family, I was of that generation anyway, that, you know, the man pretty much does the finances. You work. I mean, I worked, I had an education. So I worked full time at a fitness facility and did the marketing. And then at night I waited tables at Steak and Ale. So, you know, I've never been a slacker. Mm-hmm. I've always worked 50 hours plus a week at whatever job or whatever it is.
So you were really
so it wasn't like I was working, and I had just found out that the man I had married did not, I don't even know if I can say this phrase, didn't have a dime to his name. Mm-hmm. We did not have a dime to our name. I had come home 2 days prior, and there was an eviction notice on my door, which I flipped out of. I didn't really flip out of that. Well, it's long story short, but within a couple of week period, things started happening. And so, you know, I had mentioned, you know, to my father, you know, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And little by little, he, you know, kind of put things together, and, you know, we formulated a plan, long story short. But, you know, he was basically a con man who I was working two jobs. I knew what money I was making. That money, he would get dressed. This is just, I have to tell this to the world, because women, be careful.
Yeah.
If your man is always calling you, sending you flowers, you never go by there, you never check on them because they're always checking on your wear, but that's a major red flag. Nobody loves you that much. You know what I'm saying? You know, you may think you are that more, and I was a very attractive woman at my time, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't all that more. So anyways, long story short, I had found out a couple of days, and I had and this is Christmas. I mean, this is a week before Christmas, and I literally had enough gas to get back and forth to work. That's all the money I had in this world. I didn't have anything. And I was waiting tables, and I, you know, every tip that I got, which Steak and Ale, I made pretty good tips, and I was a very good waiter. And I had a very good relationship with a bartender, so let that be known. Always establish a relationship with a bartender. Share your tips. Mm-hmm. They'll pour your drink strong. Your tip will be better. It's a win-win situation. Anyway, so this gentleman comes in, and it's about Steak and Ale. It was Christmas Eve, and we were going to close at 10 p.m. And this guy comes in, and it's right at 9 o'clock.
And this is Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. And 9 o'clock, and he comes in, and I was up by the front door, and I said, our kitchen's closing in an hour. And he said, ma'am, I have had just the worst day of my life. If you would just put me in a dark corner of this restaurant and bring me a steak and keep that hot coffee going, and don't bother me, then I'll make it worth your while. And there was just something about this man. He looked, I would say he was in his mid-40s. He was a trucker, and so truckers, they look older than they actually are.
Yeah.
They're driving weird hours and doing what have you. But he looked about as forlorn as I felt, and there was something about this man. So I took him back. He was just a very sad and solemn man. So I took him back and waited the rest of my tables, and you know, it was creeping on time. I brought him his check, and I was like, hey, you know, don't, you know, finish up, but I, you know, we got to settle up the register and stuff. And he said, ma'am, you have been so kind to me, and you know, I can see that you too have got a lot on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And it's Christmas Eve, and he said, is your manager here? And I thought, oh Lord, here's something hinky with this guy. And I don't, you know, God, this is the last thing I know, this dude's gonna be hitting on me. And I said, yes, sir, our manager's here, and he's a big guy. And he said, well, he started laughing, and he said, well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to need a really big guy. And I thought, well, that's about the oddest thing I've ever heard somebody say to me. And I said, come again. And he said, do you mind going and getting him? And I said, that's fine, whatever. So I went and got my manager, and he came back. He said, I've got something for your employee that I would like to give her, but I didn't want to ask her to walk out into the parking lot with me because that would scare her. So if you would walk with her, you know, and whoever else, you know, he was a really nice guy. Whoever else wants to walk, I'm a legitimate nice guy. I'm not trying to harm anybody, but I think I have something that she will enjoy. And I had no idea. I mean,
and you hadn't told him anything.
I didn't. When I say to you, I didn't have any decorations up. It was so sad. I mean, I was just going to act like, I didn't know what I was going to do for my babies because my baby was in bed dreaming about Santa Claus and there was nothing. And I walked outside with this man and he was driving an 18-wheeler that was slap loaded with Fraser furs from North Carolina. And he said, I would like for you to pick your Christmas tree. And I said of course, I didn't say anything because I was crying and I may cry now.
And he had no idea.
And that man had no idea. Number one, I didn't have a Christmas tree. But so they got this tree off and I didn't care if it was a branch, you know, at this point. It was the thought of how sweet this man was.
You're making me.
And so he put it on. I mean, him and my manager strapped it to my car. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, I wish for you the safest and the happiest of Christmases. This time, he said something about this time in your life will pass. And he got in his truck and he went away and I went back in, of course, had a good little cry, went back to the table and there was a $100 bill laying on that table. So I left there. My boss said, this is just a sign from God. And if I don't let you clock out and leave, you know, you have got to go to Walmart. So I left there. I went to Walmart. I bought decorations. I bought lights. I bought my daughter a doll. I brought all the things, all the stocking stuff. And I came in and I stayed up all night. And it's probably, don't make me cry, the greatest Christmas I ever had. So yeah, that is a good Christmas story. And wherever that man is, I pray he's still alive. Because that turned my life around. Yeah. I was able to divorce that fool, bring my kids back to
And Auburn, that time did pass.
And that time did pass. And the love of my life helped unload my U-Haul.
So that's how they met, y'all.
That's how we met. My husband was a lineman, and my father worked for the power company at the time, and he helped unload my U-Haul. Having no clue. So, yeah, that's how.
Yeah,
that's the greatest Christmas story ever, but that's the only time I've been touched many lives, but that's the only time I can ever remember wholly being enveloped in the Christmas spirit. Just absolutely enveloped. There's hope. There's always hope.
I want y'all to know this is hard year. And everyone's dealing with some grief. Like, let's talk about it. I mean, the holidays can be hard. Managing blended families, and we'll talk about blended families in a second. People not being able to travel to their loved ones. Mm-hmm. Divorce, you know what that's like? That's terrible during the holidays.
That's terrible.
Whatever it is, you never know what someone's going through, y'all. So just, you never know when you can be the angel. Truly, when she shared with me that story, I thought, there are real angels, and God is still alive, and we all have to have hope. So I just hope that story encourages y'all to just think of a way that you can give, and giving to a stranger can literally change someone's world, or giving to your neighbor can change someone's world. So let's talk about blended families. I think that's something that's really hard for people in the holidays, whether it's, you know, someone just got married, or you have stepchildren, or you know, don't get along with this side of the family, or you're the definition of a blended family. You know, you have your five children and they've got this, that, and the other, and you have to manage different schedules and different things. What is your biggest advice for making the holidays work with a blended family?
Flexibility.
Amen.
That would have to be number one. You know, I think Rockefeller Center has done a long way into damaging our own mind's eye as far as the holidays. We envision, you know, this crackling fire and a Christmas tree, you know, stockings, yeah. And everybody loves everybody, and there's a big turkey, and there's all this feel good. You know, that's maybe 1% of the population. It's not realistic. I mean, yeah. Do what makes fun. And I, and some of the coolest traditions.
What is
traditions,
your favorite tradition?
Mine is the actual picking out the tree and decorating the tree. And it's because I'm always tacky. Anything a child made, anything that I made, you know, the bright blue, green, yellow, red, all the lights, all the tacky. You know, that's me. The tinsel, just
so your grandchildren love that?
Absolutely. And, you know,
they're some smart kids, y'all.
My husband's, you know, the white lights and
classy
and all that. And so, yeah, when we got married, our first Christmas was, you know, I tried to let him do, and there was really no way because my tacky spilled over into every aspect. So I was like, what am I going to give this man that I'm not willing to, this is Christmas and I'm tacky, my God. So I gave him the front yard, basically.
And you were like, I got the inside, baby.
So people would ride by our house and they'd see these lovely white, you know, just the red bows synchronized. You know, one year it'd be silver, one year it's red.
So he was into it.
Oh, yes, Lord, he's into it. And then they would walk in the front door and it would be like a jack-in-the-box exploded or something. And candy canes and sugar and kids swinging. You know, just hell, I'd have a pony in there. And so, yeah, so all of that was kind of the meldings. Over the years, we've kind of, he lets me do the inside, doesn't say a whole lot, and then he does the outside. But now kids, you know, he's got an ex, I have an ex, my ex doesn't count, so he's never been in the picture, thank goodness, knock on wood. But I've always tried, and there, you know, each one of your children has a significant other. When you're my age, they've all got their special person for life. And so, you know, they have to spend time with the other family, wherever that family may be, and there may be nieces and nephews, you know. And so if you stress out people, and by setting a time and you tell your kids, I'm like, oh, it's Christmas at noon.
That,
and if you're not here, we're not going to be able to cut the turkey, you know. And everybody is stressed out. And we've got to get to mom's. And my God, you forgot the present. And everybody, that's not the kind of holiday I want. I want everybody laid back, casual, coming to my house because they really want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, come on, we got to go. You know, we're doing all this. So I've always made our stuff late in the day. So they do Christmas
because
morning or
flexibility,
whatever,
y'all.
Whatever.
Make what works for your family.
And then we do dinner that night. So the kids have, there was nothing worse as a kid. Of course, now I didn't have a lot of this. But when we came back to the States, it was aggravating because you wake up Christmas morning, you get all these toys, and then they pack you up and they make you go somewhere.
You didn't get to enjoy it.
And you didn't enjoy your toys or anything, but you had to go to Uncle Frank's or somebody's house, and you're like, oh my God, all my toys are in there, you know. And so we could only like pick the one thing to take, because then we'd forget that we'd be getting presents all there, and so the car would just be gladdened. But I always wanted whomever to have the whole day and then that night, because that's usually when, that's why I love a good Christmas party.
I love a good Christmas party
on Christmas Day that night.
We're partying, we're having
partying, everybody's, I mean, everybody loose, everybody's eating, all the formalities that
the
you
kids are running.
You're wearing new clothes,
yes.
You got a new scarf, you smell good.
Yes. You're like, I love Christmas
and I love you.
And y'all, yes. Her granddaughter Finley, maybe yes. One of the funniest kids I know. Very friendly.
Hilarious. Very friendly.
Very friendly. And
Finley.
Finley is her name, y'all. And I can only imagine what she's like on Christmas morning.
She's wide open, and yet she's me.
She's creepily me.
She's never afraid of, you know, I always had a saying that whenever I would go someplace, somebody would say, if you remember the 80s hair, okay? 80s hair, you had these flyaway bangs. It was, you know, all over it, and just very wide around your face, and it was all. But then, if you looked at the back of anybody's hair in the 80s, it's just like you got tired, and it was straight, and there was like this little flip curve, you know, because by the time you got to up here, you were just tired. And one time, somebody made the comment, "Sandy, oh my God, your hair is just so beautiful." And I'm looking at, you just turn around, and it's like. You fall in the blackboards? What, you know, what is it that you're doing with the back of your head? And I was like, you know, it's none of your business. I only care what people think about me coming into the room. I could give a rat's ass what they think when I'm leaving.
Y'all, live your life by that.
Live your life. Never care. Lord, if you're looking at the back of me, the best of me is gone.
Yes. Oh.
The best of me is already out the door.
I love that. Well, I think that's really great advice, y'all. Flexibility and just make what works for your family. And you're also so good at giving. I mean, y'all, she walked over here with the freaking sweet potato pie. She did 24 pies. Why is giving back so important to you, but also why do you think people should give back, especially during the holidays?
During the holidays, I think people, you know, I don't know. It's a lonely time for a lot of people, and I think that everybody's biggest fear is not so much guns or fire or anything, it's loneliness.
Amen. I think that
to be alone, to truly be alone is the saddest thing that there is. And I would walk over hot coals every day of the week to prevent anybody from feeling lost. There are too many people out there, and I think that's what makes, you know, you have to speak up to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're hurting, it might be the hardest thing that you've ever had to do. But it doesn't necessarily take a best friend or an aunt or an uncle or a school teacher or a librarian. It can be anybody. It can be a neighbor. You know, just tell somebody that you're lonely. And 9 times out of 10, that person's going to be lonely too.
Yep.
You're right. And, you know, or make an effort extra to smile at somebody that you can tell is having a bad day, but you never really know what people's backstories are.
No, that's
the happiest people I know, or some of the happiest people I thought I have ever known, are really the saddest.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Everyone has sadness in their life.
Everybody does. But if you whatever you share, you should share tenfold. If you're in grief right now, I don't expect you as my friend or my neighbor or anybody to experience that grief by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything is best shared with others. I don't care if it's laughter, if it's love, if it's grief, if it's, you know, whatever. It's best shared with somebody, and it's best aired, because people give words entirely too much power. And words replayed in your own head over and over will destroy you. So say those words out loud to yourself, and they lose their power, and they lose their menace.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and they enable you to say, "Hey, man, there's more to it than this. I can get out and do. I don't have to have people come to me. I can create a situation. I can go to Kiesel Park, take my dog for a walk. And I bet I run into somebody that has a dog that'll say hello to me and maybe step in line and walk a circle with me. You know, every journey begins with a single step.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they say?
I agree with that.
So,
y'all, let me give y'all an example of how selfless Sweet Sandy is.
No.
I see a notification on my Facebook that she has just done, listen to me, that she posted on the Auburn Opelika residence, I don't know what it's called, Facebook.
It's my group. This is a group that I monitor.
Okay, well, I mean, there's thousands of people in
there. Yeah, we have 13,000 plus in
this. Okay, well, she posted, hello, my name is Sandy Williams, and I am just a citizen, a grandmother, a mother of Auburn, Alabama. But I know that I have essential workers in my family. If you do not have childcare, you drop your kids off and I will homeschool them and I will be there for them. Y'all, she did not know any of these people. And so I tell you that because that's the kind of person that Sandy is. And when you live life with a selfless, positive spirit, no life is easy. But when you live it like that, it's always going to come back tenfold. I appreciate you being here. Sharing the emotional story, but I have one last question to ask everybody.
Okay, ask.
So tell us three of your current favorites, must-haves, or recommendations that you feel all people need to know about. It can be literally anything.
Three things that all people should know about.
Like it can be a book, a recipe, a tip.
Okay, well,
product.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to say this, and you don't have to. You don't have to buy it from me. There are a lot of people out there. You don't have to buy it from Tori. But I will say, number one, it's not the number one, but it's in my top three. Rodan and Fields. Check it out, people. It's a game changer. It's going to knock 10 years off your life. Now that's all I got to say about that. Rodan and Fields is
great products. We love them.
Love them. Okay. Number two, must have that you cannot do without in this world is you need to find a way to create patience. That is something that I don't think today, of all things, no one has any patience anymore. It doesn't matter if you're at a red light, you're in a gas station in line to pump gas. People are this instant gratification and the instant information, the highway, all of this is overwhelming at best. And I think that our society is just slipping faster and faster and faster and faster into a time of where there is no time. And if you don't start making time and having patience, then your anxiety is just going to get worse. You know, all the things build on that. So I think if you're calm and you have patience and you can assess, then all things are great.
Your holidays are going to be better if you have patience.
If you have patience, all good things come to those who wait. And having said that, the number three thing is, and I think this is the most important thing, be kind to yourself. Take time for yourself. And it doesn't necessarily mean self-care as far as, you know, getting enough sleep and what you're eating and doing. Find things that you genuinely enjoy doing. And if it's not, you know, if it takes you a little while, go out and experience some things. Take an art class. If you live in this area, it doesn't matter where you are. In the United States of America, there is not a town, there may be a community, but there's not a sanctioned town or city that does not have a community college adjacent to it, or a technical college, or a university that offer classes for their community just to get out and about.
You take a lot of those.
Take anything and everything, because you don't know what you're going to like until you try it, and all, you know, too much, we're sent to college and we're said, okay, you got to take all these classes because you're going to be a nurse. Well, you should have taken a few more other classes. How do you know that somebody invites you to play racquetball? Why would you just say no? Because you don't know how to play, go learn how. you know, try something.
I agree with that. Be kind to yourself
and try something. Try something. Have patience.
Well, I love it. Well, Sandy, this was amazing. So fun. I always love laughing with you. And y'all, I just know Sandy's the best, y'all. Live a life like Sandy and be there for other people, because she, and also notice those little things around you. You never know if you can be a Christmas angel to somebody this season.
You absolutely can.
And you never
make a point to
make a point to be. I like that. Make a point to be a Christmas angel for somebody. And
the best thing to do is to always act, always do like nobody's watching.
Amen.
And I love that. Do things for people that come as a surprise. You know,
and
do
it doesn't
just
have to say
from Tori. No,
it can just say from no one.
Because you're loved. Because you were thought about today.
So I encourage everyone to do something anonymous for someone and be that Christmas angel, and then something you can put from who you are.
Exactly.
You know, just do those little things and reach out to those people, because
teach me how to sew.
Teach me how to sew. Okay, well, Sandy, you inspire me daily. You're always there for me and for people, and I just appreciate you opening up and sharing with us.
Anytime.
Thank you for being the best.
Congratulations on your show.
Thank you. Okay, bye everyone. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
If this episode touched you, inspired you, or brought you a good laugh, it would mean so much to me if you took a moment to leave a review and comment on iTunes. I read each one and it really makes such a difference. The support y'all have given for this podcast has been so humbling and overwhelming in the very best way. Our guests are bringing truth and encouragement that everyone needs to hear, so please keep sharing the podcast episodes with friends personally and on social media. This is how I learn about all the podcasts I listen to. I appreciate all of you more than you know. I'm so excited for you to hear the incredible story next week, and I would personally love to wish each of you a healthy, happy, and joyful holiday season.